Heather Corliss, and she is a research scientist at Children's Hospital Boston and an instructor of pediatrics at Harvard Medical School. Thanks.
Good morning, everyone. Can you hear me? Good. So thank you for coming today to our presentation and the last day of the conference. There's so many amazing things going on at the conference and so many competing wonderful talks, so we really appreciate that you're here today. So I'd like to acknowledge my co-authors on this paper, as well as the support from the NIH that funded this work, as well as the NIH that funded me in my Career Development Award, which allowed me to do this work, the IMPACT Program, and then the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, which conducts the YRBS, as well as the Fenway Institute for organizing this and being a leader. So I have no financial relationships to disclose. So my aims for today are basically two. The one great thing about coming after Michelle is that I don't have to describe the YRBS in as much detail because she did a good job doing that, and I can just focus on the health outcome for this particular presentation, which is cigarette smoking. And so I'm going to focus in more on describing the sexual orientation differences, the disparities in adolescent smoking, and really focusing on two dimensions of sexual orientation, identifying as heterosexual, gay, lesbian, or bisexual, as well as the reported sex of individual sexual partners. And then I'm also going to describe how the sexual orientation disparities in smoking are influenced by the intersecting demographics of sex and gender, age, and race ethnicity. I kind of did sex and gender together, slashed, because I saw someone else do that in a paper and I thought it was really smart. Basically, I'm doing that because I understand there are gendered factors that influence differences between males and females in smoking risk, as well as potential biological differences, and that we really can't disentangle that with this research, and I'm not attempting to disentangle that, so I'm putting them together. So, really briefly, because many of you here in the room already know this, that there's been a large and growing body of research which demonstrates that sexual minority teens, that is teens who identify as lesbian, gay, or bisexual, or teens who report same-sex attractions and sexual partners, they're more likely to be at risk for smoking cigarettes. However, studies that have examined how the sexual orientation disparities in adolescent smoking are influenced by the intersecting factors are much more sparse, and the findings are inconclusive. They're sparse for a few reasons, one being already sexual minorities are smaller prevalence in these studies, and then when you try to carve them up by race, ethnicity, or age, then the sample size even gets smaller, and so it's really hard to look at statistical interactions or to test for effect modification. So there aren't a lot of good data to be able to do that. And then I think also they're inconclusive because the few studies that have looked at that, they're varied in how the information has been collected and the study populations, and so there's a lot of reasons probably for that variation. So we try to overcome some of those methodological challenges by pooling the YRBS across multiple data regions and jurisdictions. So very briefly, there are two theoretical frameworks that are driving this research or that are informing this research. And one is the minority stress theory, which many of you have heard a lot about and know a lot about and read a lot about. And that's basically the acknowledgement or the understanding that having a gay or bisexual orientation is socially stigmatized and that those individuals experience certain stressors as a result of that. And that the stressors may increase adolescents' risk for smoking. Smoking is kind of viewed as a coping mechanism for dealing with the stressors. And then the second framework that drives this research or informs this research is the framework of intersectionality, which really seeks to explain how multiple minority statuses and social inequalities operate jointly to influence health. There's a lot of difficulties studying this quantitatively, because, you know, here we are carving people up, putting them in boxes, and it's really not getting a good sense of how these factors operate together jointly. But so we do need qualitative research, I think, to better inform what's going on. But of course, at the moment, we're just presenting quantitative data. And as far as what we may hypothesize with respect to sexual orientation, we may hypothesize that, you know, girls and women, because of having a disadvantaged social status in patriarchal society we live in, they may be at increased relative risk. The additional stressors of being female, the additional stressors of being female and sexual minority may increase risk for smoking. And in terms of age, we may hypothesize that younger teens may be at greater risk than older teens, or younger individuals than older individuals, because when you're younger, you have less social resources and cognitive resources to navigate adversity. And in terms of race ethnicity, there's competing research out there. When is the kind of dual minority status sort of hypothesis, which would be sort of being a sexual minority and being an ethnic racial minority may confer greater adversity, and that could potentially increase risk for smoking. But then we also know that white youth tend to smoke more than certain racial ethnic minority groups, such as black youth and Asian Pacific Islander youth. They smoke less than white youth. So we don't really know what could be going on or how there's competing factors. So there's some evidence for intersectionality. The studies that have looked at how sex and gender might modify sexual orientation disparities have found that there may be larger differences between sexual minorities and non-sexual minorities in girls or women than in boys than men. Of course, with regards to age, there's a little bit of evidence out there, and it's mixed. We conducted a study with the Growing Up Today study, which is a primarily white sample, and found that disparities were larger, sexual orientation differences were larger during adolescence than emerging adulthood. But then another study using ad health data, focusing specifically on Asian American and Pacific Islanders, found that there weren't any differences during adolescence, there weren't any sexual orientation differences, but there were differences in emerging adulthood. And then there's really been not a lot of studies looking at testing formally, statistically, how race or ethnicity might modify sexual orientation disparities. Although there was one study by Blaznik, I don't know if I'm pronouncing his name. He's been here. I just met him recently. He does a lot of great work. But he used a college sample to show that there were, basically sexual orientation disparities existed across all the racial ethnic groups that he examined. So the YRBS, for this particular analysis, we just used the 13 jurisdictions that assessed either sexual orientation identity or sexual behavior, which resulted in a weighted sample size of just over 31,000. And then the YRBS asked multiple questions about smoking, about the age of first smoking, and patterns about ever smoking daily, frequency and amount of smoking in the past month. I'm just going to focus on two today. Ever smoking and past month smoking. If you want more detail, you'll read the paper. I'll get cut off if I focus on everything. So briefly here, I just wanted to present the main effects for sexual orientation by the two dimensions of sexual orientation identity, and sexual partners. And this slide presents the odds ratios for comparing the sexual minority individuals to the heterosexually classified individuals across the different categories. And so you can see that when we look at disparities based on identity, the first thing you can see is that they're larger than the disparities based on a reported sex of an individual's sexual partners. And sort of the odds of smoking are ever smoking and smoking in the past month are greater than 3 across lesbian, gay, and bisexual individuals, and between 1.4 and 2.9, depending on the measure, the categorization of the individual. So this slide presents, is where we're starting to get into intersectionality, and we're starting to look to see how there may be differences across sex and gender and effect modification by sex and gender. So I'm going to just orient you to this slide right now, and then you'll see a series of slides coming after this that will be oriented similarly. So we have our heterosexually classified individuals in sort of this green or light blue kind of bar, and then the lesbian and gay classified individuals in the orange, and then the bisexually classified individuals in the yellow. And then the same is true when we're looking at sexual behavior. I tried to keep it consistent so you can zoom in. So basically what this slide shows is that when sex and gender modifies the sexual orientation disparities in smoking, we see relatively greater risk for ever smoking and smoking in the past month in bisexual females compared to bisexual males. And this basically shows that the differences, the sexual orientation differences, are larger in girls than boys for bisexuals. Does that make sense to people? So we would kind of, the take-home message would be that the bisexual females have the highest relative risk for smoking. And then when we're looking at sex of sexual partners, we see kind of similar patterns in that the girls that report sex with both males and females, both boys and girls, are at relatively greater risk for reporting that they ever smoked and reporting that they smoked in the past month. So now we're looking at intersections with age. And basically the take-home, and I just showed 14 to 17 across the bottom to make it easier for you to zoom in on. We did drop 12-year-olds because of Michelle, how she pointed out how they looked a little different. And I didn't really trust that data, so I just included 13 to 18. And basically this slide shows that bisexual girls who are younger had the highest relative risk for smoking. And that would be for smoking in the past month and forever smoking. So again, we see sort of elevated risk in bisexual females and in younger bisexuals. But when we're looking in at sex of sexual partners, there's really no statistically significant interactions going on. So that kind of tells us that the relative risk for smoking is equivalent across age groups for individuals who report both sex partners and individuals who report same-sex partners. So now we're focusing in on ever smoking in the past month by sexual orientation, identity, and race, ethnicity. And I, in this presentation, I dropped, I actually collapsed the Asian and Pacific, American and Pacific Islanders because their smoking patterns actually weren't that different. But maybe they're different on other health risks that the YRBS examines. And I dropped the other category because it's really, I only had so much time to present the data, and it is really difficult to interpret that group. So what this slide shows is that it's really black youth who identify as lesbian or gay that have the kind of the highest relative risk for smoking compared to the other groups. And the way to interpret this is to say that the sexual orientation differences, or the differences between black youth who are lesbian and gay and black youth who are heterosexual, are wider, larger than the differences we would see between white youth who are lesbian and gay and white youth who are heterosexual. Time? I didn't even see the 5-minute one. Goodness gracious. So then we don't see any interactions by race, ethnicity, and then when we're looking at smoking in the past month, again, we see that there may be greater disparities in black youth who identify as lesbian and gay. And then I'll just go on. So basically, to summarize my findings, that we see that disparities are larger based on identity versus sex of sexual partners, and that when we look more closely at the prevalence, we see that smoking is much more strongly related to sexual experience in heterosexual teens. Teens who identify as heterosexual, their smoking rates overall are much lower than teens who report opposite sex-only behaviors, whereas those differences don't really exist in the sexual minority teens. And so that could be what's going on there. And that we also see elevated smoking in sexual minorities across all subgroups based on sex, gender, race, ethnicity, and age. And we do see some support for intersectionality framework in that bisexual females, younger bisexuals, and Black, lesbian, gay youth have relatively higher risk. And then the caveats is that we can't generalize to all of the United States. The jurisdictions, there's only 13 of them. And also the sample size, even though we pooled, they're still small sample sizes, so we need additional studies to look at this further. Okay. Thank you.